taking a bra off at the end of the day is the most beautiful thing. It's just so, after like being in corporate clothes or and getting that off your body is just so nice.
Breasts. Whether you have them or you don't, if you identify as female or not, this is one part of the body that can be pretty hard to ignore. Beth Gibson didn't think she'd ever paid too much attention to her own breasts until one day she received a bit of a surprise.
I want you to imagine that one day you get a blank email and attached is a little MP3 file with your name on it. You have no idea what's in the file. You put on your headphones, lie down, and press play.
I don't really like having breasts very much.
Yeah.
I feel sort of uncomfortable with them.
Why is that?
I don't know. They're just so loaded and weighted, I think. It's like having this thing on you that like you don't really, it doesn't really belong to you. Because it's such a symbol for, like a cultural symbol for sex and...
You're listening to All the Best, which today we're calling All the Breast. I'm Jess Hamilton. Today we're bringing you a story from one of our Melbourne producers, Beth Gibson. She's a bit of a radio superstar. Between making stories for us, Beth produced this documentary for one of our favourite independent podcasts, Private Parts. It's a collection of varied individual experiences, of breasts. Here's Beth.
2 years ago, I gave an hour-long recording of myself talking about my body to a friend and asked them to edit it down to 5 minutes. I told them to pick out what they found most interesting. What I got back was 5 minutes of me talking about my breasts. Not how they looked really, but how I felt about them.
Yeah, I do have to say, actually, if I'm feeling stressed, I, like, just cradle them. And it's just, like, this little stress ball that's on me. And that's nice.
See, I've never really cared for my breasts much. I've always thought of them as unremarkable, not big enough to be sexy, but just big enough to be a little saggy. They're a body part of mine I don't think about much. At least, that's what I thought until I got this recording. And I was suddenly listening to myself talking about my breasts with way more feeling than I knew I had. What followed was a total fascination with breasts. Not so much with the look of them, but with the experience of having breasts. I started talking to lots of different people. I interviewed dozens of women, transgender, and non-binary identifying people and asked them all the same question. What's it like having breasts? In this episode of Private Parts, 7 different people talk about their totally different experiences of having breasts. This is Breasted Experience. It's hard to think of a more ingrained symbol of femininity than breasts. Curvy and soft, they fill women's magazines, porn, and billboards as the very image of womanhood. So when Max realized, years ago, that they identified as transmasculine, they began the difficult task of trying to rediscover their own breasts as a source of pleasure that transcends gender.
I'm kind of lucky, I guess. I don't have big boobs at all. which I think it's interesting because I imagine that maybe if I had bigger boobs, I would probably have more of a negative relationship to them because I'm, in terms of the way I present, like I want to be read like as a boy kind of. So, but because I don't have big boobs, I don't really have to, I just wear a baggy t-shirt and you can't really see them. I know other people who like, who are trans guys or trans masculine who really, really hate their breasts and bind their chest every day and aspire to having them removed or get, or have had them removed. But I have, don't really have that desire. I have bound my chest, like I've done that. I used to do that a bit, but I found the sensation of wearing a binder really like, not only uncomfortable, which is I think what a lot of people found, but it kind of reminded me of my female body in a way that I felt more uncomfortable about. And also when I have sex, I don't like people like interacting with them like boobs, so like grabbing onto them or like, I guess because boobs are kind of like, they like flap away from the body and they can be kind of touched at, apart from the body, and so I don't like the feeling of that. It's, I think, imagining like clowns with like really big shoes on and someone coming along and being like, your toe's right there, and touching them on their toe, and the clown is like, no, my toe is over there, what are you doing? Like, this is my reality, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not true. I have a chest that has little like things growing out of it, but they're not breasts, and like I don't need to get rid of them. I just, that's just how my body is, and I don't think it's unmasculine, or I don't think it's, doesn't make me a woman.
When you have a body with breasts, it can feel like you have no control over how other people read them. Max has resisted that and insists on defining their chest for themselves. In contrast, Sonia, a trans woman transitioning from male to female, wants to be read as female, but for a long time didn't have what we think of as traditionally female breasts.
I've always realised that there's a very strong possibility that I won't grow breasts to any extent, or that I might need breast augmentation if I really want to, if I really feel that I'm lacking in that sense. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I felt that I could deal with, and that I could find an identity for myself, a gendered identity that I'm comfortable with without having breasts. But actually starting to get some real breast tissue, it is a really wonderful thing. Yeah, so I've been taking hormones since 2013. And there was a slow ramp up for that. So there was testosterone blockers and estrogen pills, and I've been on them since then, slowly ramping up to a certain plateau, until I had the testosterone levels and the estrogen levels that cis women have. When I go to sleep or when I wake up, I usually lie on my side and just brushing against your breasts or holding them and realizing what you've got there, and that your body's changing, and in changing in a way that you'd longed for so much. Taking a bra off at the end of the day is the most beautiful thing. It's just so after like being in corporate clothes or and getting that off your body is just so nice. It's like taking your socks off.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing that I have to think about all the time is how much what I want is shaped by media interpretations and what's considered feminine culturally in the culture that I'm in. So I think that plays a huge part. I think that's part of it. But for me, ignoring the root of those influences and just thinking about what it means to me, it makes me feel good in a... I don't feel that I'm subscribing to a particular norm. I just like what I have. I like my body.
I really like the idea of just enjoying the feel of them. I feel like, because obviously it's all so complex.
Yeah.
But then there's this really simple act of just being with yourself and feeling your own body.
Yeah, it's just they're squidgy, they're perky. At first I thought they were going in a funny direction, and I wouldn't have had a problem with that either. But I kind of like how they're going now. I think they've got character. I really think they've got character. I feel like they're speaking to me when I hold them. I really do. Like, not obviously expressing anything, but like speaking to me in a way of appreciation. I appreciate them, and I feel that they're part of me. It's kind of like I want to hug them and let them know they're now me. That's really beautiful. That I just thought of that.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I just thought of that. I now got them. I've never had them before, and I'm hugging them and telling them they're me. Yeah. So yeah. Sorry, getting a bit teary.
That's beautiful.
Breasts give Sonia visibility, not just to others, but also to herself. Holly, a sex worker, queer feminist, and new mother, has found her own way of claiming ownership over her body. She's come to relish the diverse role breasts play in her life.
Okay, my breasts play three different roles in my life at the moment. They're commercial, they're utilitarian, and they're mine. In my work, my breasts are a commercial part of my life. They are something that I use to advertise myself. They're something that I use during my work life. As a sex worker, you know, one of my selling points for me has always been my breasts, that they're quite large and curvy. And so, yeah, that's a way that I've got work and made money. I feel like it's a really empowering situation for me to be able to make money off them, because, you know, when I'm walking down the street and I'm objectified for my breasts, I kind of don't have any say in that, and there's no game for me in that either, and I find that very frustrating and very disempowering. In my sex work, I'm able to turn that around and say, hey, these are an amazing asset. I'm going to make some money off these and, you know, use them in a positive way for myself. All of my clients, unfortunately, have been men, cisgendered men mostly, and there's usually a sort of sense of, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, how amazing, I'm going to take my top off. I think the objectification, when it's in my hands, can be a really fun tool to play with, either in a sexual way or just in a pleasurable way in general for power. I feel like I'm the one holding the reins in my work, and it's really fun for me. Also, as a queer woman, one of the few downsides to being queer is that most of the people I sleep with have breasts themselves, and so, you know, they like my breasts, but there's less of a wonderment because, you know, it's nothing new for most of my lovers. So it's kind of fun to get to play around with that in my work and to have someone going, wow, I don't have any of these. Yeah. Interestingly, now that I'm breastfeeding, I actually feel quite protective of that, and I don't really want people sexualizing my breasts, especially not when I'm breastfeeding. Not because I feel like it's this pure thing, but just because I feel like, no, hey, I'm using my breasts for my child right now, and this is the way that they're being used right now, and how dare you try and shift that paradigm. It's a really beautiful thing. I love breastfeeding my child. I love it. Yeah. it's just amazing to look down at that person in your arms and think, wow, everything that I see I've put there, you know, I've grown you in my body, and now I have grown all the fat on you, because, you know, babies get to this really cute, chubby stage, and at the moment my child is exclusively breastfed, so everything on their bones is fat and muscle that I've put there with my breast milk, and I'm growing someone, as you know, in my arms. It's incredible. I've always enjoyed my breasts for the way they look. I've always enjoyed dressing them up or dressing around them, you know, using them as a sort of centerpiece of my outfits. But now I'm so grateful for them. I'm so glad that they're there, and they're not just something that happens to be stuck to my body. They're so useful.
For Holly, the experience of having a baby changed the way she experienced her body and her breasts. Next, we're going to meet a woman named Alex. She also experienced a big life event that totally changed the way she experienced her breasts.
There's the supposed sort of perfect woman, and it's, you know, 34, whatever, 26, 34. So you're supposed to have a bust, and you're supposed to have an ass, and you're supposed to have a little waist. And it wasn't that I wanted bigger breasts. It was that I didn't have bigger breasts. And I would never change that. I would never have a breast job. But you do contemplate it. You sort of think, oh, would I do that? But I wouldn't. I got MS, and my diet completely changed because of what was recommended for people with MS to eat, and my body changed enormously, and I don't know, big breasts would make me heavier. I just thought, oh, this is where it all gets a bit weird. Mm. Because my body doesn't work properly, because I use a wheelchair and I use a walker, because of the walker, my posture has changed and my bum sticks out, and to have another weight on me, like having big breasts, would just be horrendous to also have to carry that weight. I would fall over a lot more, I think, if I had large breasts and MS. I don't know. Yeah, I was really screwed up by my figure. I had eating disorders in my late 20s. And then I got MS and got over it. Just went, oh my God, this is so stupid, and stopped.
Yeah.
You know? You get a disability and you cut a whole lot of crap out of your life, and that sort of thinking sort of dissipates. They've become way more erotic and sensitive because I've lost a lot of feeling. The first thing I lost, that was sexual intercourse. For a long time I couldn't feel anything. So my breasts became the focus, a thing that would kick in wanting to have sex, because the other bits were numb, you know. I should say what the other bits are. My fanny. Yeah. I've had to rediscover how to, you know, to what turns me on, you know. And my breasts are part of that, you know, and have become more important. Do I see breasts as having breasts as being problematic? For other people, yes. Not for me.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I've got perfect breasts. Actually, I've always thought my breasts have been quite perfect. Not because they're the right proportions and all that. They're perfect for me.
Towards the end of the interviews I conducted for this piece, I asked everyone the same question. What would it be like if you lost your breasts? And every person, despite the challenges they've all experienced, said kind of the same thing. They said it would be really sad. For Claudine, this question became a devastating reality.
I always liked my breasts. For me, they were a big part. They were very sensitive. So for me, they were certainly a big part of my sexuality. I knew that my husband always liked my breasts. I always saw them as being probably one of my best assets. So, you know, I didn't like my bum, I didn't like my thighs, I didn't really like my stomach. It was my breasts that made me, you know, who I was. So I went for a routine scan, my normal yearly, and I was going every year. And I had found a lump. I'd sort of felt a lump a few months beforehand and thought nothing of it because I generally had lumpy breasts, so I wasn't really that concerned. And told them about it when I went in to the screening. Yep, they could feel it. And, yeah, they'd check it out, but, you know, whatever. And then she said, I'm going to do an MRI, which I wouldn't normally do, but I want to see these lumps. There are three of them. I want to see, and two of them seem to be very close together. I'd like to see whether they're part of the one lump. And so, okay, so I went and did the MRI, came back, and she said, actually, we've found more lumps and a whole lot of something else, and now I'm not giving you the choice. Now you have no choice but to do a mastectomy. I think I was more concerned about my husband, and I was concerned about the way he was going to view me. And then there was a part of me that just went, I just have to continue going and just doing, and I'm just going to keep myself really, really busy and just not focus on, I just need to do what I need to do and the rest will happen later. And I went to see the plastic, and then she said to me, you can have immediate reconstruction. So then I started looking at my options, and one of the biggest things when I went into the plastic surgeon, and he kept saying to me, you don't have to do the reconstruction now. You can actually wait. And I said to him, you don't understand. I don't want to wake up flat. I don't want to wake up with no breasts. I was attached to them. They were me. They were part of me. I had a beautiful, it sounds stupid. I had a beautiful relationship with my breasts. They fed my four children. I breastfed for ages. I liked my breasts. The first week I kept feeling like this is really quite surreal. Like maybe this was a bit drastic. Was this a bit too drastic to just cut off my boobs? Maybe we didn't have to do it this drastically. I felt okay because I didn't really look at them very much in the first week. And then I started looking at them and felt a bit like a, and it's interesting because I kept describing myself as a battered Barbie doll. That's how I felt. And I kept thinking, well, gee, I look different. I don't look like me. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I could see just all the bruising and the, you know, you've got scars and you've got all sorts of things. And I don't know why I used the term Barbie doll. And then I heard somebody say something about Barbie dolls and don't have nipples. I wondered whether that was actually why it was particularly a Barbie doll. It certainly helped to have the reconstruction straight away. I think that for me that's been the biggest thing, is I don't think I could have coped. I would have coped the same way. I think I would have grieved more. But waking up and looking, yeah, my breasts look a bit different, but essentially I've still got breasts. You know, I can still wear a low top and it's summer and I can still have a cleavage and it's a pretty good cleavage, and I don't feel when I'm dressed that I look any different. I thought I was pretty strong to start with. So to me it was just, okay, now I need to really show the kids what I'm made of. They're going to really see what I'm made of now.
Claudine has a remarkably tough attitude. She's been through so much, and yet she continues to make the most of what she's got. when I think about toughness and that fighting spirit, there's another person I know who really stands out.
Okay. I'll just settle in a chair and I'm away. Ooh, what an exhausting time I've had already.
This is my grandma, known to others as Jan. When I asked her if she talked to me about her breasts for this piece, she said, "You need an old lady, huh?" Well, yes.
Okay, far away.
Thanks, Grandma.
Honestly, Beth, I cannot remember, and it was not a big deal. I feel I do go back, way back, and for me, I can't remember it being a big deal at all. It just was something that happened. Oh, there wasn't nearly as much attention paid to them. I had a mother who grew up with quite big breasts, and in her era, which is way back, they were sort of bound down with calico, so they didn't show up at all. But I don't think we did much. The difference is accentuating breasts now and showing off cleavage, which was an absolute no-no. We did go through a period of hippie period when people were going braless, and I was in the tropics, and I just loved it, absolutely loved it. I mean, fully dressed, but it was just lovely not to have to worry about wearing a bra. That didn't last long either. I thought it was quite delightful, the thought of just having a dinner party with all these lovely, beautiful evening blouses, you know, in sort of chiffon or something, and no bras under them. I didn't ever manage to have one or be invited to one, but I thought it was a lovely thing that people were sort of freer and getting rid of bras, but then they came back to it. What do they look like now? There again, I don't spend any time looking at them. I'm supposed to inspect them, I'm supposed to feel them, but I don't. I think they look perfectly normal. One's slightly bigger than the other. I don't spend time looking at my breasts, no. I can remember when I was in my late 40s, nearly, and I was thinking my breasts were doing quite well. I did an awful lot of swimming, so I still had reasonable breasts. But anyway, I was going into the surf, but this lovely young thing, I don't know how old she was, in the 20s, early 20s, came up beside me, and I realised my breasts hadn't really survived to that, to match my imagination, because she had these beautiful young pert breasts, and I thought mine were pretty good, but I realised that, you know, a few decades along, they were not anywhere in her category at all. I was shown up and completely brought to realise that I was on the downhill slide already, yes. Oh, just a revelation that I was kidding myself. I just admired hers and thought, oh, well, mine are pretty good, but they're certainly losing their way. As long as I feel good, I'm certainly not jealous of these young things. In fact, I just think they're beautiful. And if that's the way they want to dress and show off all their beauty, well, perhaps that's the way they should do it. They should be free to do that. And I quite like admiring them, so I have no complaints about looking at these beautiful young cleavages and butts, buttocks, and long legs, and beautiful bodies. That doesn't bother me at all. So I suppose it's a continuation of my not worrying much about my own.
Breasted Experience was produced by Beth Gibson with help from Arit Pollack. This story was originally created for the independent podcast Private Parts. The stories and social experiments that feature on Private Parts unlock social taboos and explore new territories. They're experiences that deeply affect us, but are all too often hidden from conversation or out of bounds. Some of their upcoming themes include breaking echo chambers, unorthodox parenthood, and processing sexual assault. Private Parts is produced by Irit Polak, who set up the podcast to investigate taboo experiences, but also to provide a platform for new producers to develop and broadcast their work. You can find out more at their website, partlyprivate.com. We highly recommend you give them a listen. We'll chuck a link up on our website. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. Our executive producer is Selena Shannon. Our Victorian State Coordinator is Bethany Atkinson-Quinton. Our community coordinator is Chloe Gillespie. Tegan Nichols compiles our show. Beth Gibson, who made today's show, is our SYN production manager. And I'm Jess Hamilton. All the Best is heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and also find our archives at allthebestradio.com. While you're there, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.